down for you fully. This ain't your average broadcast. This ain't just no podcast. The mother show spread fake news. We just call them broadcast. West, Joey, Sam, Sean, Don, ain't you know that boy Higgy? He said he don't want no small fries. Tell them they better make them biggie. Yeah, you already know what we be on. We got the crown, we hold the throne. We throw the mails and you take them home. When they ring the bells, you know that it's home. The bar set, we setting the tone. If we set it, then set it in stone. Sit in the seat, set up your phone. You in the car, no sports zone.
Welcome. That was a long, long commercial break. 6 years to be exact. Welcome back. Finally, Cardinal Sports Zone has come back to 93.9, and finally, Cardinal Sports Zone has come back home. We're coming to you live from the Triple C Studios, the Collision Course Crew, tailgaters, that is. It's the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast here on ESPN 93.9 The Ville. We are here as part of the 24 hours of coverage leading into the kickoff of the college football season for the Louisville Cardinals. September 1st, Georgia Tech, Atlanta, 7:30 p.m. on ESPN television. Honored to have been asked to do this for you all, and we will be here for the next 2 hours. 2 hours. It's like an old-school CSZ show. Should be a blast. I'm your host, Jeremy Wyman. I'm here with my co-hosts. They are the incomparable, for more reasons than one, Sean Barber.
How's it going, folks?
We got, okay, not for long, but it was Sean Barber. We have Sam Bazin, our football beat writer.
What up, what up?
And we have our, he kind of is a jack of all trades. He does a little bit of everything. It's our red chipper, our 12 star, our diamond in the rough. It's Mr. Dalton Pence. I said diamond, so then I automatically started thinking Diamond Dallas Page.
Just say anything, but what's going on, I guess.
And then last, but definitely not least by any measurable unit of value, it's the notorious H.I.G.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
So just to let y'all in on a little bit, we're doing both a video version of this that will go live the day we do this podcast release. We still don't have a time slot yet. And I say yet, like y'all just found out about it today. So we still don't have a time slot, but we're doing a video version. So if we say look at this, or just please know that we're doing two versions of this, and bear with us. We are thrilled to be here. We are going to have a great show for y'all. We're going to go over the offense, both of the offenses, as much as they want to. Everybody's got a segment. Dalton's going to go over the offenses. Sam's going to go over the defenses. Sean's going over special teams, and he's got five reasons why. Not five reasons why he's single, but five reasons why. Well, I'll let him get to that. And then Joey's going to talk about some special tailgating going on this year. And Higgy's going to tell you, surprise, surprise, where you can eat if you're in Atlanta. So it's going to be a great show. We appreciate everybody tuning in. I wanted to ask each of you all a little bit about this, but Sean, we'll start with you first. This pretty special deal for us. What's it like for you? You never were on the original Cardinal Sports Zone show, correct?
That is correct.
You did a little bit of producing for the old CSD podcast. I do remember that.
And Live with 55.
Live with 55. Thank you. I wasn't going to plug myself, but wait a minute. Pause. This is your first experience with kind of like with radio. I mean, we've done the podcast for 5 years now. It is what it is. But what does this opportunity mean to you?
It's huge. I actually once worked at a radio station. I don't know if I ever told you that. Interned at a radio station once.
No, you never told us that.
But yeah, this is great. I am happy, very happy to be here.
This is great. I am happy. Sam, what about you, bro?
I mean, I'm just excited to talk Louisville sports on any and all platforms. So I'm glad to be here.
We'll wait for him to finish his sip. Dalton, what about you, buddy? I mean, you're not a stranger. You've been on 93.9 multiple times as a guest analyst, a special guest, things like that. Quite frankly, if you ask me, you belong on any platform on a weekly spot. You do have Locked On Louisville, for sure, which is daily. But what does it mean to you to be able for all of us to be together and to kick off this college football season together?
Well, it's special. You know, I joined the show back in the prime time of COVID, you know, back in, I think it was June of 2020, you know, recording in your basement and everything. So, you know, this
is kind of creepy. Like, it was my studio's in my basement. I didn't have anybody held hostage.
That, but nonetheless, you know, I feel like this is something that we've been talking about for a couple of years of trying to get back, and just honored to be a part of it. Glad to be able to be a part of the 24-hour segment talking Louisville sports heading up to the season, and even more excited to see what the guys can do on the field this year.
Absolutely. And again, last but not least, by poundage, by boobage or anything.
Why does Higgy get to talk about restaurants in Atlanta? How many times have you been to Atlanta, Higgy?
5 times. But I know the best spots always.
So my rule is you get to talk about a restaurant for every neck that you have. So he gets to talk about a bunch of restaurants. So, and Higgy with the reverse 93.9 logo in the background. That's pretty awesome. Higgy, what about you? Because look, we don't let you talk much on the podcast because we want it to be audible, just being honest. But you have been a longtime caller into a lot of talk shows. We won't name them because some of them are on 93.9, some of them are not. But what's this going to be like for you to be able to turn on 93.9 and hear yourself stumble through some words or to talk or just having a good time?
It's just giving me pure enjoyment more than anything else. Like being a caller, but now being a personality on the radio has been an interesting transition, I should say, as I fumble over words.
Oh, Higgy.
In true Higgy fashion.
In true Higgy fashion. But yeah, we're excited to talk about Louisville football. We're going to go over a bunch of stuff tonight. We've got our guy, well, my brother, Joe Wallman, is out on location hanging out with the Collision Course crew. They're going to give those of y'all that are watching on video a sneak peek of what the new Collision Course tailgate is going to look like. So if you're listening on 93.9, go to our YouTube page. That's at Cardinal Sports Zone, one word. Search for us. This will be on there, and you'll be able to scroll through right to the part where you can see all the visual stuff. We appreciate that. It's kind of hard to do, time-consuming to do two different shows. We could have very easily done an audio and a video version, but this just made the most sense for us. So, Higgy, Joey, why are you sending messages in the group DM while we're doing a show, Higgy? Have some decorum. But anyway. So we're gonna get to all the good stuff here in a little bit. Like I said, we've got Dalton who's gonna talk about the offenses. We got Sam that's gonna talk about the defenses. We have we're gonna talk about breakout stars. I'm just going through the shot sheet. Special teams. Sean's gonna tell you why. 5 reasons why. ... That's all he told me. Then we're gonna go to Joey and tailgating, and we're gonna come back and wrap everything up with a nice little bow. I'm very excited. This is going to be a fun night. But first off, we're going to head to our first commercial break. And when we come back, we are going to talk to Dalton Pence. He'll lead the discussion on what to expect from the offense in the opening game. We will be right back on ESPN 93.9 The Ville. Welcome back to the 24 hours of coverage on ESPN 93.9 The Ville. Leading up to the kickoff of Louisville football 2023, you are here with the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast. My name is Jeremy Wallman, here with Sean Barber, Sam Bazin, Dalton Pence, and the notorious H.I.G. I'm going to hand the ball off. That is a football pun intended to our red chipper, Dalton Pence, as he tells us what to expect. What to think about both offenses in the opener versus Georgia Tech. If he has questions for the gallery, we'll answer them. If not, that's fine too. He's got a certain amount, a lot of time to do his thing. So I look very forward to that. Dalton, what you got for us, bro?
Yeah, fellas, feel free to ask any questions. Just a little brief opening monologue. Obviously, new coaching scheme. There's a lot of excitement built up across the offseason about the excitement for this offense. It's supposed to be a pretty extravagant offense that really replicates that of the ones that we saw in the early 2000s and when Lamar was here to an extent, but obviously Brohm has his own stylistic play calling and things of that nature. But nonetheless, I think that there is a lot of realistic pressure on this unit to perform right away because of the optimism from the offseason. Brohm has had a top 20 passing offense in all but one of his collegiate seasons as a head coach. So there's a lot of optimism surrounding not only Jack Plummer, but the upgrading of the wide receiver room as a whole, which they did with Jamari Thrash, Kevin Coleman Jr., and multiple other players. Solid offensive line, veteran-led with a solid, one of the most underrated running backs in the country in Jawar Jordan. So excited about the offense, and I'll turn it over to questions.
Okay, so I'll go first, and we talked a little bit about this with Mr. Third Down, Lavelle Boyd. I'm not very familiar with Coach Brohm's offense. I didn't really watch a lot of Purdue games. And it's not because I didn't like Coach Brohm. It's because my dad's side of the family is from Indiana, and Purdue's like their arch rivals. So always wanted them to lose, even though I had a, you know, an endearment to Coach Brohm. So my question is, if you can describe to us, those of us that aren't football savvy, which that's not me, I'm speaking for other people, in general, what should we expect from a Coach Brohm offense? What are some examples of players we've had in the past that remind you of guys that would play well in a Jeff Brohm offense?
Well, I think the cliche statement right now is to essentially say that he throws the ball all over the field. And while that is true, it's not some air raid offense that you would see from a Sonny Dykes at TCU or insert name here. It's more professional than it is an air raid offense. When you look at the splits, more passing, there's more passing downs, but it's not that big of a differentiating factor. One thing that when I've watched Jeff Brohm extensively, actually going back and watching Purdue games this winter, this spring, one thing has become increasingly common. Even some of these quote unquote passing plays are really just run extensions, giving it to the running back out of the backfield in sort of out in the flat on a slant route over the middle or even in a halfback screen situation. So even though there's been more passing plays, some of these are almost like extensions of run plays, which I really think are going to become fruitful this year because of the group that Louisville has. So to make a long story short, don't go into the season believing that we're going to see an air raid offense. Now, granted, it's going to be a lot more diverse in play calling than we've had the past 5 years. However, it's going to be more balanced than some would believe. Jawar Jordan and company are going to get their touches in the Louisville backfield, but it's just going to be more of an exciting brand of offense, more deep balls, more quirks in the play calling to get the ball carriers the ball out in space in different ways.
Well, it was like we were talking about in the kickoff, the season 5 kickoff, the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast was our last episode last week. This will be episode 2, obviously, season 5. But we compared it to we had a coach last year that was more interested in finding out which chili was better, Gold Star or Skyline. So he moved to Cincinnati to find out than he was interested in the last game of the season, and because we looked very uninspired in all the games against that opponent. So I look forward to seeing somebody like, I mean, Coach Petrino, let's call a spade here. Had he not went through the tragic loss of his father, we probably aren't 1-10 that season. Or I know it wasn't 1-10, but we wouldn't have had that abysmal last season. He still may be here. We don't know. Because losing your father, as some of y'all can relate, I know I can, is a way bigger. Even when I heard that's what happened to Coach Petrino, I was like, well, you know, people lose people all the time. Like, you got to just suck it up. And then I lost mine, and I understood immediately why it was so hard for him to do. And I don't hold anything against him, but he knew he was ready to crush them by the throat and step on their neck every time that we played against them. So it's good to have somebody like that back in the saddle. Sean?
Right.
My question would be, who do you think is going to be the standout receiver? I know a lot of people say Thrash, but let me ask you this then. Who would be the second best receiver? Who do you think is going to be number two?
Kareem Hunt. Correct, Sean. That's right. I think that honestly, I think it's going to vary based upon game. I mean, I think that this is such a loaded wide receiver room, top heavy wise. You know, I think that there are about seven guys that can realistically play big time snaps here. I'm going to go with Kevin Coleman Jr. And this is no disrespect to Amari Huggins, Bruce. I think he's a phenomenal player. Just from what I've heard from people around the program.
Oh, no.
This program over the past offseason or so, or offseason, I should say, Kevin Coleman Jr. has looked like the best receiver outside of Jamari Thrash. And, you know, 500 yards last year. I know it was an FCS team, but still, nonetheless, you're talking about a top 100 prospect in the 2022 class. So I guess you could go 2A, 2B here with Kevin Coleman and Amari Huggins, Bruce, but I would venture to say it's probably one of those guys.
Sam, what you got, buddy?
Sean talked about the wide receivers. We all know in Coach Bobby Petrino's offense, and have we seen in Coach Brohm's offense, what do you think would be the impact on the wide receiver and their pro prospects under Coach Brohm?
I think that to answer that, you have to go back and look at what wide receiver ones have done under Jeff Brohm since he's been a head coach, and it has been a long list of success. He has turned unlikely candidates into star players. Obviously, Rondale Moore was as good as advertised coming out of high school. You also have David Bell. And then Charlie Jones, who was a two-star recruit, transferred to Purdue, didn't necessarily have a ton of production at his previous stop, but came into last year and turned out a 1,000-yard season. So I think that this offense permits a ton of success in terms of box score numbers. Now, granted, if you're good enough to play professionally, they're going to find you in whatever offense that you're going to play. But I think that this offense, with its electric brand of football, with the way that it gets receivers the ball out in space, I think it's going to give receivers in the room all the tools and the scheme that it needs to have for these guys to be successful, unlike the offense that we may have had the past 4 years or so.
All right, Higgy, what's your one question for Dalton?
I was just going to ask Dalton in regards to Joey Gatewood. We've heard a lot of things leading up to the season on his transition to a tight end versus his normal position of quarterback. What do you think his impact will be on this offense going forward? Do we see a lot of him, or do we see a lot of more or the freshman Jamari Johnson? Who do you think will be the leading tight end when we come out of the season?
I think week one, it's Josh Liveson. I think that Josh had a very, very solid spring, very solid offseason, built up a lot of camaraderie and chemistry with Jack Plummer, which is great. The other guys, there's just not a lot of experience. This is like the true like position that I circle, and I say I don't know what to expect, to be completely honest with you. But it does not lack talent, and also Nate Kariski in that room as well could see some time. I think Jamari is going to be the backup, potentially pushing for starting level snaps midway through the year. Joey Gatewood has also surprised me as well because he's gotten a lot of praise out of the offseason. I think he's going to be used situationally at the least. Think like Trey Burton, who went from being a run-heavy quarterback to pass catcher to tight end, sort of like the trajectory that we've seen for Gatewood. I think that he's going to be used potentially in wildcat situations on the goal line. I think that that's something we are talking about. And also, you know, with his long frame potentially in the red zone as well. So it's really hard to tell. I guess it really depends on how well Josh Liveson and Jamari Johnson play. But I think he's going to see some type of a situational role at the very least.
Before we get to the next commercial break, and we appreciate you all for joining us here at the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast here on ESPN 939, The Ville. Here's what I want to ask you, and I'll ask Sam about this defensively in a few moments when we hand off to him. But who's the one guy, the one freshman that you see in this offense playing the most minutes this year?
I feel like that's tougher to answer offensively than it is defensively. I feel like defensively you have like one to two guys that you can discuss on that, and that's no disrespect to the defense. That's just how good insert player here is. There's not a lot of opportunity for their offensively. I mean, quarterback, not really, unless Pierce Clarkson were to absolutely ball out. Tight end wise, Jamari's there. Wide receiver, probably not. Offensive line, eh. Running back wise, if Kewon Brown surprises everybody, maybe. I'm going to go Jamari Johnson. I think that that is probably the direct answer here. And that's not an indication of these other guys not being ready. It's just having to wait their turn. Tight end is the clearest way to playing time at the moment, and I think that Jamari, he's shown that his frame, you know, when he changes his frame, the speed is not affected. So I'm extremely intrigued to see how the season goes for him. I think that he's going to play some sort of a role right away, and I expect that to grow and flourish up until the end of the season.
Well, awesome stuff. Appreciate that. And look, when you're getting back up on the bicycle and riding again, there's nothing you love more than a segment going the exact amount of time that you asked for. So, Dalton, great stuff. We're heading back to the commercials for a minute, but when we return, our Louisville football beat writer, Sam Basden, will give you all the 411 on the defenses and let us know who to watch out for. Stay locked in. It's the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast on ESPN 93.9 The Ville. We are back again. I almost wanted to start singing that like the Eminem song. We are back again. We probably get pulled off for that, so I won't do that. Go ahead. Tell your friends, though. It's the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast here on ESPN 93.9 The Ville, and we're bringing you 2 hours of coverage during the 24 hours plus coverage leading up to the 2023 season opener for football versus Georgia Tech Friday, September 1st, 7:30 p.m. on ESPN television. You can find the app as well. If you can't get it on, just know wherever you're at, you can find the show. Next up is one of the youngest beat writers in the game. He's a great up-and-comer as far as I'm concerned, and I don't blow a lot of smoke. Everybody here knows that. Here to talk about the defense is our guy Sam Basden. Sam, what's going on, man? Can't hear you.
Take yourself off mute.
Yeah, I muted myself.
There you go. So, Sam, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Can't complain, man. I'm just excited and ready for this game, ready to get the Brom era started. Hopefully with a win, too.
Absolutely. So we're going to do this kind of like we did the first segment. I'm going to ask you to tell us a little bit about the defense. We know it's a 4-2-5 defense. And just kind of let us know. And then we'll all ask you a question defensively as well. And then I'll ask you about the freshman defender that you expect to see getting the most time. So go ahead. The floor is yours, Mr. Basden.
All right, man. So like you said, we're running a 4-2-5. It's a similar defense that Georgia Tech started to run last year once they changed head coaches midway through, I think, the season. But in the 4-2-5, it really focuses on strengthening the middle of your defense. You would think that it would emphasize speed because you have five defensive backs, but you really have four of your defensive linemen and your two linebackers are essentially playing what would be the two middle linebacker spots in a 3-4 defense. And then you'd also have the extra defender who would normally be a nickelback slash defensive end slash outside linebacker. But the 4-2 defense really strengthens the inside, the middle part of your defense, especially against the run and any of those little short slants, things like that come straight across the middle. One of the unique strengths about this 4-2-5 defense is also you now have five defensive backs, so you have a lot more speed on that floor, and it kind of helps eliminate the mismatch that was always we would always have a safety or a linebacker lined up against a running back in the slot or a speedy shifty slot receiver. With this 4-2-5 defense, that kind of eliminates that aspect that the offense usually took advantage of last year. Well, the last few years for Louisville, we always somehow ended up seeing Monty Montgomery, no shade to Monty, or someone else lined up against a running back in a crucial third down situation. But this year, hopefully you don't see that as much. So I look forward to having an aggressive defense because now with the 4-2-5, you can also disguise your blitzes a lot better. They can come from different angles, and it gives the offensive line like they don't have a don't have enough stress already, it gives them a lot more things to think about in the flow of the game. So I'm really excited to see what the new defensive scheme is going to help our players succeed.
So full disclosure, I just tried to open off it, muted my mic, tried to open up the drink off camera, and I forgot there's a mic right next to me that's live. So that was not slick at all. I apologize. Sam, here's my question. I'm going to go ahead and start off. What's the biggest difference that we should see this year versus last year's defense? Because there wasn't a lot of rhyme or reason to last year's defense. We got up big on Florida State. Their starting quarterback went down. It's like we forgot how to tackle people. So that's my question. What's the biggest differences people should expect to see in a 4-2-5 defense led by Jeff Brohm and Ron English and what we got last year from Coach Satterfield?
You know, outside of the scheme of things, I think the biggest difference that you would see is more people to the ball. It'll be harder in the 4-2-5 to have. Of course, you do have your gaps as you do in every defense, but with the speed on the field, you shouldn't have that much gaps. Those gaps should close really, really quick, similar to what the gaps look like in the NFL on the NFL field. So that right there, I think, would be probably the biggest. Outside of that, not really much, because as you all remember and you can tell, the defense came along late
last year.
And we have a lot of those same players back. Of course, we're missing Yasir Abdullah and Yaya Diaby, two huge players, and of course, Keetra Clark in the back end. But we have similar players.
And Monty and Momo and the whole defense.
So shout out to Monty as well. But we have talented players that can, I guess you could say, plug the hole a little bit. Not, you can't expect anyone to do what Yasir Abdullah did. You can't expect any one player to do what Yaya did. So as a whole and as a group, I feel like this team could have a similar impact, have a similar defensive impact like last year's team towards the end of the year, but I think they can do it throughout the entire year.
And we would, again, great stuff, Sam. I'm going to ask y'all to ask him a question as well, but I just want to make sure everybody knows we appreciate y'all tuning in here to ESPN 93.9 The Ville for the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast. Been a while since we've been on the air. I think leading up to this, I was excited about it, but now that we're doing it, I'm even more excited that we're doing it. So shout out to Drew and to Nikki and to Steve and them for letting us do this and facilitating it. We really do appreciate you all. Sean, got a question for Sam about the defense, and it could be about the Louisville defense or it could be about Georgia Tech's defense.
I want to stay focused on Louisville. I could give two cracks about Georgia Tech. Okay. Unbelievable.
Sean!
But my question...
Can you stop? Just kidding. Go ahead.
My question would be on the defensive line, I feel like it's probably going to be Ashton Jawadi, Jermaine Lole, and Dez Tell, but who's going to be on the other side, on the other end? Or will they use maybe two linebackers?
That's a great question. Great question.
So, of course, you have Desmond Tell in the middle, but you also have I never pronounce his name right, Ramon Poirier?
Per year.
Okay. He came along really well as towards the end of the season. You also have the redshirt sophomore Jared Dawson, but don't forget we got Stephen Heron from Stanford, right? Yeah, he came in.
And we also got, not to interrupt you, but we also got a huge got Willie something from Southern Miss. Was that his name, Willie? Am I wrong?
Is it Tyler? No, that's not Willie Tyler, is it? No.
Higgy, look at it. Make yourself useful. Look it up. But yeah, absolutely. It's. Go ahead, Sam. We just got to play. Our defensive line is probably the deepest.
It is.
I've seen it in years.
Because, I mean, like you said, you have Ashton Jelati on one end. Don't forget, you also have Victor Brown. Popeye Jones is still there. So there's talent that can fill that defensive end spot. Because we know what Ashton Jelati is going to bring to the table. And Tufik Thomas and Desmond Tell, we know what they're going to do in the middle. So finding that fourth end is going to be crucial for Louisville. But I feel like until they do, they could always shed a little bit of the either the linebacker or the star position, what might be Ben Perry or something like that, shed a little bit more to that side to give that left or right side of the defensive line help until someone comes along and solidifies that spot.
And while we're waiting on Dalton to refresh his to watch some ads so he can get some more Wi-Fi time to join us, Higgy, I'll let you go ahead and take this, and then we'll need to we'll ask Dalton. But do you have a question for Sam about the defense?
Yeah, Sam, who's going to be the impact freshman on the defense this year?
No, we're asking that later. Ask another question. Higgy, okay. You were here for the show at the first part of it. I specifically let off with saying that we'll ask him another question, Higgs.
With the loss of MJ Griffin and everything to the secondary, who is going to be the next? Who's going to be the next guy up? I've heard Storm Duck. I've heard Cameron Kelly. Who's going to be the next man up for this secondary more than anything else?
Great question, Higgy. Finally, only took 5 seasons.
So, I would insert the transfer Devin Neal. I think with the loss of MJ Griffin, Neal's addition to the roster is key because we assume and we know that Josh Minkins is going to solidify that strong safety spot. So, but we also know that Quincy Riley could also play safety.
Mm-hmm.
So he might be moved from corner sometimes, depending on the situation. He might be moved from corner to play free safety. But like I said, you also have Devin Neal. So to me, I think it'll probably be Devin Neal to start off with. And every situational, you might see Quincy Riley back there because he had some success as well last year. But it was hard. It's going to be hard to lose MJ Griffin because he wasn't playing early in the year. But once he got on the field, you couldn't take him off. There's no way you could have taken MJ Griffin off the field. But I think it'll be Devin Neal with a close second to Quincy Riley, and it might flip-flop depending on the situation.
All right, Dalton, thank you for rejoining the chat. I told him you were watching ads so you could get some more Wi-Fi time and everything. But do you have a question for Sam about the defense?
Have we talked about TJ Capers yet?
No.
Nope.
Okay, my question is, number one, what role do you think that he will play this season with him sort of being a hybrid pass rusher, outside linebacker, but talented enough to play anywhere in that front seven? And number two, after following up, what role he's going to play this year, what do you think that Brahm and them envision his role for the future, and what's the end game for his development?
So similar to the answer for Higgy's question, I do think he will be situational because he should be completely healthy, but he did miss some parts because he came in late and he was also injured when he came in. So I do think he will be a situational player. Maybe I don't want to say you want to keep him strictly to third downs because then you know he's going to be rushing the passer. You want to give him some versatility and some flexibility to where the defense doesn't know what he's coming to do. So I think you'll see a mix of first and second downs, if not second and third downs, is when you'll see TJ Capers on the field. As far as what they envision for him, and the kid should be a high school senior right now. So his body is still growing and maturing. I do think his role on the team will have a lot to do with how his body grows. Because if he continues to get bigger and stronger, he's going to see himself as a defensive end. But if he stays around the height and weight that he is right now and as quick and as strong, you'll definitely see him as one of those middle linebacker types that can also rush.
So much like we did for the offense, we're going to ask you, with Dalton, we're going to ask you defensively, Sam, who's going to be the freshman that gets to play? And if it's more than one, that's fine. But who's your freshman standout for this season on defense?
So since we already talked about TJ Capers, I will not talk about him. I would say Stanquan Clark.
There you go. That's who I thought.
He would be my first option. I don't think you could keep him off the field in any situation. And second, it'll have to be, for me, a toss-up between the defensive tackles. Like, what's it called? William Spencer, Wu Spencer, and Micah Carter.
Woo!
Yeah. Because you look at them, they were about, what, 6'5", 6'6", 300-pound guys that can plug up the middle, give you a big body in the middle to help keep guys like Tafik Thomas and Desmond Tell, keep them fresh towards the end of the game and especially towards the end of the season. So I do think you'll see those two guys, Spencer and Carter, in there. But in terms of defensive freshman of the year or freshman that plays a lot, it's going to be between TJ Capers, but I think it's definitely going to be Saquon Clark.
Dalton, maybe you can help me out with this. We're having a brain episode on this. Who's the big defensive tackle or defensive lineman that transferred in from Southern Miss?
From Southern Miss.
I think it was Southern Miss. Higgy, look it up.
Georgia State.
What's his name? Maybe that's who I'm thinking of.
Jeffrey Clark.
No. I think
there's Rodney McGraw from Penn State.
No, I thought.
I didn't even remember call him off. He can play defensive end as well.
Higgy, look at. We've got another hour and a half. We can bring his name back up. Look it up. You're not doing nothing else.
There was a guy from Southern Miss
last year.
This guy just came this year. Like I know it, and he's been all over Twitter, been very, very vocal. Maybe I'm missing the school on it. Well, we won't dwell on that too long. Higgy will look it up. If he can't find it, then it's Higgy. So it is what it is. We're going to head out to a break again, but when we come back, we will talk about our season thoughts and expectations for the season. We'll be right back with the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast here on ESPN 93.9 The Ville. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Those of y'all that are watching the YouTube, you're getting some behind-the-scenes footage here.
I'm not seeing anybody from Southern Miss.
You can't see your toes either, but that's beside the point.
Why do I feel like you're right?
Like Willie something. Is it not Willie Taylor?
Oh, are you thinking Jacques Turner?
No. Yes.
Is it?
He was a couple years ago. He was last year.
I don't know. This guy, he follows me on Twitter.
Buddy, you have a lot of followers on Twitter. Perhaps you're mistaken.
I was going to say, Willie's the big old guy from the offensive line that was from Rutgers.
No.
Yeah.
No, that's not who I'm thinking of. I'll figure it out, even if it's after the show. All right, let's come back from the break. Let's pull the curtain back. Welcome back to the 24 hours of coverage here on ESPN 93.9 The Ville, leading up to the kickoff of Louisville's 2023 football season. You're here with the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast. My name is Jeremy Wauman, here with Sean Barber, Sam Basden, Dalton Pence, not Dalton Page, and the notorious H-I, double chin, double G. Sorry, had to do it. You know, growing that beard out does not cover up what we all know is there. Anyway, again, welcome back to the coverage. Before we head into hour two, I want to shift the field a little bit. I want to talk about season breakout stars. Dalton, we'll start with you. Who do you think is going to be the offensive breakout star and defensive breakout star? Now, I'm going to go ahead and name mine. I'm not going to elaborate a whole lot, but I will allow you all to elaborate because this is y'all's time to shine as well. I'm going with AHB on offense. I think he'll break out this year. He's been held back a little bit under Coach Satterfield. And on defense, I think it's going to be Josh Minkins Jr. So a guy like me and Lavelle played football with his father, so that really makes me feel old. Not only does Higgy not being alive when Lavelle and myself played in college make me feel old, but, well, I didn't really play. I watched them play. But it is what it is. Dalton, who are you going with on offense, and then who are you going with on defense?
Offensively, this has been a name that I have talked about a lot. Chris Bell, offensively. I think that I was told from multiple people that it's going to be very tough to keep him on the field in some capacity. He offers a different type of receiver, you know, than what Louisville has mainly on the roster, which is kind of the smaller sub 6'2", utilizes more of the speed and agility versus the size and strength. I think Chris Bell, you know, being over 6'2", 220-ish, I think we are severely overlooking his opportunity to potentially play tight end in certain packages as a pass catcher in two tight end sets. So I'm going to go Chris Bell offensively. Defensively, he's a little tougher. Honestly, I was going to say MJ Griffin because I think he was really going to play himself onto like day two NFL draft consideration, but I'm going to go TJ Quinn here. I think that he is going to be one of the starters at linebacker, was the star of the spring game, a guy who was probably the most impressive linebacker throughout the offseason, which is not an indication on the other guys. It was more so an indication of how well he played, but being able to transform his body. Don't forget, he was a safety coming out of high school, added a good amount of weight, is now about 6'2", 230, which is a solid spot to be at for him. I think that this is going to be a great year for him, a lot of opportunity there, and I think the coverage ability marked with the ability to get after the opposing running backs. I think I'm going to go Chris Bell offense, TJ Quinn defense.
And we're joined here at the top of hour number one by the last member of the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast that could be here with us tonight. Anyway, Wes has got called into work, so he won't be here with us, but it's our guy, my brother, Joe Wauman. Joey, what's going on, man?
What's up, fellas?
We're having a good time here. Rolling along in hour one of our coverage during ESPN's 24-hour kickoff. Leading up to the first game of the season, Louisville, Georgia Tech. So, Dalton, I'll let you get back. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just wanted to bring Joey on and let him.
You're good. That's all I had to say.
All right. Well, we're done.
I have to say about that.
All right. Sam, what about you? Who are your breakout stars for the season?
All right. Well, since Dalton took my first pick in Chris Bell, I'll have to go with – I'll say Maurice Turner. I think a lot of people, I think Dalton included, would call him a change of pace back.
Yeah.
Would I agree?
Yeah. Okay.
I think
– I don't know. Would you agree? You said, no, would I agree?
Going like with the group chat where my man was talking about – what is – I forget his name. Cody?
Yeah.
It might be.
Yeah.
I always forget it, but – yeah, he said something like, I always think a change of pace backs being different than the feature running back. True. And I guess that they're both kind of similar, but I think Maurice Turner is going to play more of a role in the passing game. But go ahead. So, sorry for taking your time.
Outside of Jawad Jordan, and then we have Isaac, I'll butcher his last name, from
Rendo.
That's how you pronounce it? Mm-hmm. Okay. I think Maurice Turner is going to be huge in terms of what he can bring to the table with his speed and his explosiveness. If you look at him, he's not that big in size and stature, but he packs a punch. He tries to fall forward just about every time, and he's great in the open field. So I do think he's going to force his way onto the field, and you would have that two-headed monster running back like how we used to do in what you would call the glory days. In terms of my defensive player, it should have been MJ Griffin, but I'm gonna go with Popeye Williams right now. Okay. I feel like he had a lot of hype coming in last year, well deserved. He stuck it through with his commitment. He didn't play much for whatever reason last year. But I think with a fresh coaching staff, some coaches that recruited him very, very highly and wanted him in West Lafayette. So I think with them coming here to Louisville and him being here, I think he's going to be rejuvenated if he needed it. But I think he will find himself onto the field and hopefully shore up that last defensive end spot. Because like I said earlier, we know Ashton Gelati is going to take care of the other end, and we know who's manning the middle. We just need that fourth defensive lineman, and I think it'll be Popeye Williams.
And it is Gelati. All of the analysts that call him Gelat or Gelat, it's Gelati, like Gelati Dotti. We like the party. We don't cause trouble. We don't bother nobody. Sean, speaking of people who bother people, Sean Barber. Same question.
What about Gelati? Somebody called him Gelati. I heard him say, what do you think about Ashton Gelati? I'm like, who? Ashton who?
I don't know who that is. Sean, your thoughts. And it's okay if you have, like somebody else has already said, your picks. Just come up with different stuff to say about them.
to me, I'm going to go defense first. I'm going to go with Quincy Riley. I think Quincy Riley is going to play a huge part on his team because he is so versatile, as Sam pointed out earlier. He can play, he can move to safety, he can play corner. I think that's invaluable, and that will mean he's going to be on the field a lot. And he's also a ball hawking type of player, which I know Jeff Brohm wants. He wants turnovers. He wants the ball back in his offense's hands. Now, offensively, I was going to go with Maurice Turner as well, mainly because of his ability to catch the ball in the backfield. And I think he's maybe the – and with and it's the same with Jawar Jordan in the same backfield, I think that Maurice Turner's faster. I think he's faster. I think he's a little quicker. And I think it's going to make him just – it's going to be tough, especially if Brohm can move him around and get him on a linebacker. Good luck. Good luck.
One thing to focus on, Sean, really quickly, Jeremy. There were talks out of – When we got a commitment from Maurice Turner, there were talks that he was going to be converted to a wide receiver.
Yeah.
There was actually like a lot of analysts that thought that his role at the Power 5 level wasn't going to be a running back. It was going to be a wide receiver coming out of Coffey High School. And I think that that bodes well to your point that a lot of times you're not running the ball, you're just extending the run with passing it out to the back in the flat. And I think that, that this is where I think Turner really, really – is a great fit for this offense.
Absolutely. And it was Willie Tyler. He came from Rutgers. He didn't come from Southern Miss. I guess I was thinking of the guy from Southern Miss from a couple years back. Just did that research. Can't believe I'm going to do this, but Higgy, what about you, buddy?
Cheeseburger.
Boy, I like chicken strips.
Whataburger.
And I like cinnamon rolls.
I mean, it says Higgy there, but like he's probably scarfing down something right now because he's got his camera off.
And he's muted.
Is he? I don't know. Joey, what about you? I mean, I know that you're.
I'll be honest with you. I don't even know what the question was because I wasn't here when yet.
That's fair. Very fair.
Who's your favorite all time rapper and why?
Eminem. Okay. And I don't need a reason why.
Who's your all time favorite country singer and why?
Alan Jackson because he's just a bad mofo.
Who's your favorite woman in this video chat / ESPN call?
I mean, it's me because it's because me? I mean, I'd be kind of stupid to say I wasn't my own favorite. Now, what was the question, Jeremy?
The question was, who do you think offensively and defensively? Let me go back to the question because, who's going to be the breakout stars on offense and defense?
Now, of course, I've said this 1,000 times. Like, I don't have the knowledge about the team and stuff that you guys do, but I know that I've seen the name Jamari Thrash a lot on offense. I'm assuming wide receiver, right? Mm-hmm. I think that he would be somebody I want to see going into the season on offense and defense. I'm still like I'm a defensive line guy, so I mean I'm just waiting to see Gelati on the defensive line, see how many offensive lines and backfields that he terrorizes this year.
Hopefully all 12, 13.
Well,
right. Just a quick update. Yaya is completely dominating tonight, it looks like, via Twitter.
I'm stepping out to the tailgate real quick get ready for that part. So I'm going to go a little dark here on the audio, on the video.
Sure, I'll go ahead and just take you off for just a few seconds.
That's fine.
Let me know when you're back. But yeah, it should be an exciting season. I feel like we've been waiting for this. Georgia Tech, they run kind of a weird off. Just to change the subject just a little bit before we head into our final break of the hour. A little tricky offense. Like when you play, listen, I used to play NCAA football all the time. One of the teams you didn't really want to play was Georgia Tech because they had that triple running back option and just kind of like an Army or a Navy. One of those teams also does that. You didn't really want to go up against them. So I'm looking forward to the game. It's going to kick off the 2023 football season for Louisville really quickly. Does that opening game loss, does that affect your opinion of the football team this season, Dalton? Okay. He didn't want to answer that question so much that he left. Joey's back, though. All right, let's get Dalton back here. He's probably scrolling through some ads to get more Wi-Fi time, but what about you, Sam? We'll let you go ahead and take that question.
Man, that's tough because I feel like it's a Georgia Tech team that you should beat, regardless if it's neutral site, home or away. But with it being a first-year head coach, getting used to a new offensive scheme, defensive scheme, how you run out of the tunnel is different, how you pregame is different.
I knew this would be a difficult question for you.
Man, because, no, I don't think, well, hold on, depending on how we lose.
Okay, and by no means am I trying to say, oh, we're going to lose the first game. I don't believe that we will, but I'm just like, y'all know how finicky the fan base can be.
Yeah, so it depends on how we look and how we lose. It'll deter me or encourage me about the football season.
Hey, Higgy, can you find out where Dalton is? Thanks. I appreciate it since you're working so hard looking at the screen. Sean, what about you?
I wouldn't be – it depend. I would say I'm kind of following Sam here. It depends on how they lose. But also I understand that Georgia Tech, from what I've been hearing, they're coming into this game looking at this as they have to win this game. They think they can make a bowl, and they think they have to win this game to do it because their schedule is way tougher than ours. They're playing they get Clemson. They get somebody else in our conference. I can't remember who. They got a tough schedule. And looking at that, they're going to be coming out gangbusters trying to win this game. So we're going to have to match that energy. But if they came out and they win by field goal, you know, we've done everything we can. It just is what it is. They get that kicker and he kicks a 48-yard field goal, whatever. I'm not going to be upset. I'm going to be like, first game, had a few little issues, we'll be fine. That'll be our one loss for the rest of the year.
Okay. I like it. We are staring at the end, the top of the first hour of CSE on 93.9 The Ville. It's been great to be back on the airwaves here with you all. Again, we'll be here for – we've got another hour coming up. We're going to have some great stuff for you all in that second hour, including Higgy's going to tell us all the places he's ate at this week. I'm sorry, where you can find great places to eat in Atlanta. Sean's going to give you five reasons why he's single. No, I'm sorry. He's got five reasons why. And Joey's coming to us live from the Collision Course Crew tailgate. We'll do some interviews. I don't mind doing that, but they have to understand they got to keep it clean, keep it PG. This is a professional setting this time. Next time when we do it on our own, they can say whatever they want to. But it is what it is. Dalton may be joining us for the second hour, or he may feel like it probably is past his bedtime. So we'll check things out, though. But we're going to head back to the break. But when we come back, we'll talk about tailgating, special teams. Sean will give you those five reasons why. And Joey's going to tell you why the Collision Course Crew tailgate is a place to be this year. Keep it locked on. We'll be right back with the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast here on ESPN 93.9 The Ville. Again, behind the scenes, this is like when they do the Sports Center, the newscast stuff. And okay, all right, Sam. Dang it, man! I need a. Okay.
I haven't heard back from Dalton.
Okay, it don't matter. You can just let Dalton know. Again, this is behind the scenes. Y'all are gonna see this live on the video cast of this, but it is what.
Well, you gotta wait like 3 minutes.
No.
He said his Wi-Fi just crashed.
Oh, okay.
He's rebooting now, and he'll be on just as soon as he gets rebooted.
Well, Sam, then here's what I'm going to need you to do, because our longest segment is the last segment, and you and Dalton are heavily involved in that, so that's going to be great.
Oh, crap.
Yeah. So.
What time frame has mine come up?
Your segment 6 out of 7. You're the second best co-host in town, you say, so we're going to let you back clean up.
Well, the only reason is they seem to be starting to close down over here.
All right, so I'll flip the segments if that's okay with everybody else.
All right, that's fine.
I'll flip 5 and 6. He just wanted to bat leadoff. That's all that is. All right. Look, hey, the behind the scenes. You don't get this on every other podcast or vlog. Just here at the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast. Welcome back to hour two of the 24 hours of coverage on ESPN 93.9 The Ville leading up to the kickoff for the 2023 Louisville football season. You're here with the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast. My name is Jeremy Wyman, if you don't already know, which if you don't, then I kind of judge you for that. I'm here with my co-host, Sean Barber, Sam Basden, the notorious H-I-double-G, my brother Joe Wyman, and Dalton. Dalton Pence is putting some more quarters into the merry-go-round so he can get back on the internet to finish up the show. We appreciate y'all. We're going to shuffle the lineup a little bit. So Joey, and we're going to go with Joey and Higgy first, which I never thought that I would ever say that in a million years. Joey, you're there at the Collision Course Crew facilities right now. They are the title sponsor here for us for the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast this season. Give everybody who's watching a little sneak peek of the tailgate, and I don't mind if you have a couple of them on to say a couple things, but just kind of show everybody what they're in for and let them know what they're in for if they come out to a home game and choose to come out to the corner of Crittenden, and I don't know what the other street is, but it's where
one of the fairground entrances.
It's where the old Cardinal Hall of Fame Cafe used to be, and it's where the current El Nepal / Pizza Den or whatever it is.
Yeah, so it's the Collision Course Crew tailgate. They've been going strong since 2017. A lot of Card Nation knows who they are, but just in case you didn't, like every home game, they usually set up, you know, around 11 or 12, people start rolling in pretty close after that. It's $20 to park, but they have one of the coolest setups around. I was going to try to show you a little bit. It got dark on us pretty quick, but they got a. I showed some of it. So on the video, you'll be able to see it, but their trailer, they've had, you know, anybody that's anybody U of L wise in the last 10, 15 years come through. Russ Smith did a bottle signing in there 1 year with them. They got a custom bar inside the trailer. Pokes out the side. They got a TV there where everybody out there can watch. They got a bar on the outside. My man Garrett, he usually is manning the grill. Cooked me a good old Steak'em's Philly cheesesteak earlier. Be jealous. It was amazing. But, yeah, it's a good time. They have a couple other tailgates that, you know, are there right with them that they do every year. I know one of them's like the Catalina Wine Mixer, and then there's another tailgate that's used. C.T. Bachman with the fire engine. Yeah, the legendary fire engine.
It's always a good time whenever we go, though. It's always a good time. And we're going to do a couple of remotes from there this year, so y'all join us, come out, check it out. Should be a good time. Joey, if you want to ask a couple of them, just ask for their season predictions, and that's what we can do for your segment.
Come in here, my man.
Introduce them.
Who wants to get the season prediction, man? You can get a quick one, right? Who wants to give a quick one? All right, come on in. Season prediction. Name and prediction.
I'm going 10-2.
10-2. Your name's 10-2. What, nice to meet you.
10-2. No, Rhino's predicting 10-2.
There you go.
All right, 10-2. Rhino, okay. In the building.
Garrett,
what's up,
about
Rhino?
You, man? Grill Master Garrett.
Garrett's saying, I'm going
9-3.
9-3. Yeah.
9-3.
Okay.
I didn't get to get mine earlier. You want to hear mine?
I do want you to get. I do want to hear yours, but I do also want you to make sure everybody knows. Let's keep it PG. Nobody said anything wrong so far, but I don't want to have to edit anything.
No, that's the only ones that wanted to be on camera.
Okay, so well, that's the only people that wanted to be on here for the ESPN 939 24 hours of kickoff coverage, and that's all you got, I guess.
Yeah, like I said, the sun went down, started wrapping up, and my season prediction is 12-0.
Okay.
National championship.
He flipped the thing.
National championship. We're on a collision course. No pun intended.
No pun intended.
With a national championship. I mean, we don't have Florida State. We don't have Clemson this year. I'm just saying it could happen. We got some players. We got the coach we want. If there's ever a year for me to say 12-0, it's this year.
And that's normally Higgy's thing, but I guess it's allowed. Anything you got? Anything in closing before we hand the ball off? Hey, bring me some food home. How about that?
I ate it all.
Is this Higgy?
No, I mean, I just work out.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I eat a lot of food and I work out, so that's why I'm about a foot and a half taller than Higgy, so that also helps out.
Higgy does have quite the workout tying his shoes, so.
Yeah. Just walking up and down the stairs. What?
Yeah. Joe, that's my brother Joey Wyman there, live from the Collision Course crew. Tailgate. Let everybody know we appreciate them being our title sponsor this year. We're looking forward to having
them. Yeah, we definitely appreciate the guys here at the Collision Course crew. And if it was daylight, if you watched the one earlier, you would have been able to see I showed the wrap that Bill just had put on the tailgate trailer. He's got some more things going on with the trailer in the next couple of weeks, so it's going to be bad. Just come out to the tailgate, first home game, check it out.
Yeah, we were able to have Joey on last week's episode of the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast where he also did a live shoot, and he showed it to us in the daylight. So those of y'all that are tuning in for this one that didn't get to see it, check the season. It'll be titled Season 5 Kickoff. Check it out. You'll be able to see it there. Joey, appreciate you as always for joining in. Are you going to stick around for the rest of the show, or are you out?
I'm probably going to wrap up with these guys here, and then I'll be heading on my way back to Jefferson County.
All right. Well, if you can find some extra food, bring it home.
Peace out, guys.
Later. All right, Higgy, I guess I would like to say we saved the best for last, but it's you. What about you?
So I have a lot of different restaurants you can choose from. Where would you all like to start first?
Okay.
Do we want Mexican? Do we want Southern cooking?
Listen, so you absolutely blew the intro there. I gave you a chance to introduce everything, and you just went into the restaurants. So I'll go ahead and do it. Coming up next, we have a guy we're lucky to have on the podcast. He's entertaining. He misspeaks and misspells words, and he's an enjoyer of food. So here to tell you all, if you're going down, if you are traveling to Atlanta for the opening season game versus Georgia Tech, he's going to tell y'all the great places to eat and any kind of fun things to do while you're down there. It's our own Higgy, Cody Higdon. Cody, that sounds weird. Higgy, what's good, man?
Nothing much. Just hungry over here looking at all the food options again.
Higgy, so you asked to do this segment, so I'm going to let you do the segment.
Yeah.
What, if you're traveling down there, where do you go eat at?
For me, I first started the Varsity. That's the best onion rings, best chili dogs, best hamburgers, best all-around grubbing
food. And that's all the time we have for his segment tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just kidding. The Varsity is a solid choice. You know how many times I've wanted to try the Varsity? And because of where it's located on I-75, I never stop because I would like to get to where I'm going on time, and it's impossible.
But it is well worth it, I'll say that.
Well, not if you're – listen, I'm a student of the game. When I vacation, and I know this isn't sports talk, but I plan it. My wife can tell you, we go on vacations with my buddy Chris a lot. We go on vacations with my buddy Steve a lot. They're calling complaining about how much traffic they've hit. We don't hit traffic because we've got a navigator that looks at the busy times in all the cities and plans out everything accordingly. There was one time we left, I'll say this real quickly, we left Orlando about 3 hours after Chris did, and we beat him home by an hour because of the but the way we went in the battle plans. So I'm not gonna risk getting off. Atlanta's not somewhere I would stop off. Unless it was for this, perfect. You're going to be in Atlanta. No problem going to the Varsity. What's your next pick?
Next pick, I'm going to Big Dave's Cheesesteaks. We've heard of Barry's Cheesesteaks in Louisville and everything.
Those berries are the best.
But Big Dave his big monster cheesesteak is one of the tops in the city, more than anything else. He's been voted the best cheesesteak for the last 15 years in Atlanta. And I'll tell you this, that sandwich I'd put up there with Barry's. It's very, very good.
All right, Higgy, and we're going to ask you for one or two more suggestions. What's your third pick?
Third pick, Dat Fire Jerk Chicken. You
That's
heard
the name
me right.
Of a restaurant?
Yes, it is the name of a restaurant. Dat Fire Jerk Chicken. It is some of the best Caribbean soul food that you'll ever have anywhere in the United States. They have the best sides. They have the best jerk chicken. It's all around the best food. And lastly.
Now you asked us first. Here's what I find intriguing. You first asked us what kind of restaurant you want. Mexican, barbecue, but you've yet to name a Mexican or barbecue spot. So give us one of each real quick.
Mexican, I'm going No Mas Cantina. It's one of the best Mexicans in Atlanta.
Unbelievable.
I hate them so much. I hate them. And what about barbecue, Higgy? We gotta get you off here. This is a lot. You're a city liability. No Mas, one of the best Mexican restaurants in the city. And what is your barbecue spot?
And then my barbecue spot, no pun intended, is Pascal's Restaurant. It's got some of the best Southern barbecue in the South, more than anything. It beats the Sunnies. It beats the Jim and Nick's. It's got the barbecue that you want to be at, more than anything.
So, All right. Good stuff, Higgy. And I've got to get off here before we're fined and suspended. A collision course. First off, thanks to Higgy for giving his 17 restaurants you should eat at in one day. Secondly, the Collision Course crew is always a good time. Shout out to the crew, Bill, Craig, Rhino, everybody. I'm going to stop naming names so I don't leave anybody out. We will be back shortly after the break. We have Sean Barber coming on as he gives us five reasons why, and he'll talk a little bit about special teams. We will be back here shortly with the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast. Here on ESPN 93.9 The Ville. All right, 12 and a half minutes there.
That's great.
I hate them so much.
That was great. He said the best Mexican.
We're still live, pal. All right.
Dalton said he'd be back any minute here.
Okay, good. All right. Welcome back to more out of hour two of the 24 hours of coverage on ESPN 93.9 The Ville, leading up to the kickoff of Louisville's 2023 football season. You're here with the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast. My name is Jeremy Wyman, here with Sam, Sean, Higgy. Dalton's coming back. He had to go outside and rake leaves for his chore money tonight. But up next, we're going to dive in, which is something Sean has not done at all. But we're going to dive in with Sean as he gives us five reasons why, and not why he's single, but five reasons why. And he's going to talk a little bit about special teams. Sean, either order you want, go ahead and take it away.
All right, we're going to go special teams first. With the Cardinals this year, it's going to be a little different. We lost James Turner. We lost Mark Vassett. We're going to have Brady Hodges, who I don't know much about. He was a backup last year, but obviously he never got a chance to punt the ball, and I haven't been to any open practices to tell you how he looked. Now, Brock Travelstead, we all know. He came in as a five-star kicker out of Georgia. That dude has got the leg. He's gotten a lot of touchbacks as the kickoff specialist, so I anticipate that's going to actually be a relatively smooth transition. Now, returners is where it's going to get interesting because last year it was Jawar Jordan as the kickoff returner and Braden Smith as the punt returner. It could be new guys for punt returner this year, obviously. Braden Smith's gone. I'm going to go punt returner first and say that it's probably going to be Kevin Coleman. Kevin Coleman did a little bit of punt returning in high school and is actually pretty prolific at it. as far as kick returner, this is where it gets interesting as well, because could it be that Jawhari Jordan is taken out of that role to focus only on running back and you put somebody else in? If that's somebody else, if there is somebody else, who's it going to be? I think it's going to be Isaac Garrido out of Wisconsin, the transfer out of Wisconsin, if he takes over. However, Jawhari Jordan is a heck of a returner. The dude has had, I think, what, one or two touchdown returns. He's had a bunch of big gain returns. I think you could see something where they swap him in and out in a big situation where we need a big return. Jawhari Jordan's back there.
And that's some great points. So let me ask you this, Sean, since everybody else just takes breaks in the middle of the podcast. I apologize for that. For those that are watching, for those that are listening, you didn't even know that. So who do you look to this season as being our, I guess we'll go back to breakout on returns. So kickoff, punt returns. Who do you expect to be the ones that excel at returning this year?
To me, it's going to be, as I said, Kevin Coleman is going to be a guy I think is going to change the punt game. Because that's the one thing we didn't really do, was have too many big punt returns. Sure. A few here and there. I think he's going to change the game a little bit. He's going to help us get much better field position and a lot shorter fields when our defense finally, you know, when our defense steps up, gets the stop.
All right. Sam, what about you? You got a question about special teams or Sean's love life?
I do not have a question about Sean's love life, and I will stay out of Sean's love life.
That's fair, because so do all the ladies.
Oh, God. Oh, I just can't stab in the heart.
Look, Sam threw it up. I had to dunk it. It is what it is.
You mentioned Kevin Coleman. There's a freshman out of he plays wide receiver, and he's pretty fast. Do you think Coach Brohm is going to value experience, or he's going to try and find that player, whether it be offense or defense, that can make the biggest splash when it comes to special teams? Because we all know a team can be struggling, and it just takes that one player, that one moment and special team to ignite the whole team. So my question is, do you think he's going to find that player who can ignite the team, or he's going to value experience over, let's say, one of the freshmen or sophomores?
I would say he's going to value experience, because the one thing about punt returning is you got to catch the ball, right? If you don't catch the ball, it doesn't matter if you're electric or not. We knew that from Tutu had a problem with that sometimes. He dropped the ball, but he's so electric, you put him back there anyways. I still think it's going to be Kevin Coleman. Now, I could see a little bit of a dark horse here is Maurice Turner. Why not? The dude is electric. He's got all the attributes you just mentioned. He's still only a sophomore. I think he's a guy that might push into that role.
Higgy, what about you? What is your question, non-food related, for Sean about special teams?
This year, do we have more punts or do we have more field goals? Thinking about Jeff Brohm and his time in Purdue, he didn't really have many punting opportunities. He more went for it on fourth down than anything else. Do you see us having more field goals this year, or do we see us having more punts?
More field goals, because I think we're going to be on the other teams in the field quite a bit.
That was a very easy question. I expect nothing less from Hickey. I'm gonna follow up. Last year we had James Turner taking the kicks, the snaps at the kicker, pun not intended. Who's stepping up this year to kick the ball through the uprights?
It's going to be Brock Travelstead. I know they've got a couple other guys they brought in, Nick Lopez, and I believe his name's Cole Hussung. I have no idea if I'm pronouncing that right. I'm sorry.
Well, you're doing a better job than Higgy would have done at it.
But I just think Brock Travelstead has been in the program. He's been a guy that's been a kickoff specialist. He's got the leg for it, and I think he's earned the right to try to be the guy.
And we want to thank you all for tuning in to this week's episode of the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast, being broadcast for you all here on ESPN 93.9 The Ville. I'm your host, Jeremy Wauman, and unless you've been living under a rock, you knew that. I'm here with Sean Barber, Sam Bazden, the notorious HIG, and Dalton is out collecting puzzle pieces so he can have playtime later. So he'll be back with us here in a minute.
Hi, you in playtime?
No copyright infringements, Sean, please. You had an interesting idea. You wanted to bring us five reasons. So you got 5 minutes. Tell us the five reasons.
Five reasons why we're going to go at least 9-3.
I like it.
Georgia Tech. Number one, Jeff Brohm, his leadership capabilities. He is a great motivator. We've seen it in Western Kentucky. We saw it at Purdue. He's going to do it here. This team is already buying in. You can tell. So that's number one. Number two, Jack Plummer. Jack Plummer knows the offense. That's a big thing, having a guy come in that knows the offense. And number two, he's going to see the guys in the flat. That was one problem I ever had with Malik Cunningham. He never saw the guy in the flat open to check down even. That's not going to happen anymore. You got a guy with experience, and he's actually not half bad. He played well on that California team. Number three, our defensive line depth. That is ridiculous. And you think, oh, you lost Yasir Abdullah. Oh, you lost Yaya Diaby. What are you going to do? That's two key players. You got Ashton Jawadi. You've got Tafiq Thomas. You got Jermaine Lole coming back. You got Dez Tell, who should have been all ACC if he wasn't. And then you got Stephon Heron, who we brought up earlier, that's going to be stepping in too to play to Stanford. You got a lot of talent there, and they're going to be able to rush the quarterback no problem and cause a lot of havoc. Then number four, wide receiver depth. That was something we didn't have last year. We have one guy. If he would have went down, we would have been in a lot of trouble.
For sure.
Now you got guys like Callaway out of Tennessee. You got Jaden Thompson out of Cincinnati. And that's two guys that probably aren't even going to start. You got Thrash. You've got AHB. You've got Kevin Coleman. We're going to be electric, and we're going to be deep. If somebody does get hurt, God forbid, we're going to have somebody step in. Number four.
I thought you just gave us number four.
Did I give you number four?
I don't know. Yes, you did.
Okay, number four. So number five. Sorry, I lost count. So number five.
So Higgy can't read and you can't count. Makings of a great podcast here. Thanks for tuning in.
Number five is the defensive backfield. I think we got, even though we lost MJ Griffin, I think we got so much talent back there. That's another place we're deep at. Quincy Riley, he's going to be a great player. Jarvis Brownlee, who last year had some issues. I've heard this year in camp, he's been maybe the best corner we've got.
And that's smooth.
And then you got Josh Minkins, who's going to be a massive, massive he's going to show that talent, that massive talent that he has. The only spot we got to worry about is MJ Griffin's spot. But I think there's enough there. You got Storm Duck that can step in. You've got the other guy out of North Carolina whose name is escaping me right now.
Kelly,
yes. And Devin Neal. So I think those are five reasons why this team is going 9-3 and they're going to slack Georgia Tech.
And Sean, go ahead and tell them where you can normally find five reasons why during the football season.
Normally you can find it at CardinalSportsZone.com.
Make sure you're subscribed. Every time we post a story, if you're subscribed, you'll get it immediately. Follow us on Twitter. You'll get them there as well. It's, as you can tell, underneath Higgy's unibrow, it shows you where you can follow us on social media, on the X, on the Twitter, on the – I'm just going to call – I included the X for the new people. I'm going to call it Twitter. The Instagram, the Facebook, the YouTube, all of them are there. We're not on Threads yet, are we?
Not yet.
We need to rectify that, even though I don't use it. I know it was cool to get on it for a little while because everybody thought Twitter was going down. I created one. Not sure I've ever used it, but that's where you can follow us on all the social media avenues, or you can go to CardinalSportsZone.com, subscribe. We have great photographers. We got great writers. We got great beat writers. Reason why we win Leo Awards every year for either the podcast or the show or the site, because we put in a lot of hard work, and we got a great team of people here at Cardinal Sports Zone that I really appreciate most of the time. Sometimes I don't. So great stuff. I appreciate you all for that. If you know of anybody who's a living person though that we can get Sean set up with, send us a message on social media. Hashtag it. Hashtag get Sean a date. 2023.
I'm a good dude.
He is a good dude. You know, he may not be tall. He may not be handsome. May not have a lot of money. He may be short-sighted.
Actually, no, my vision's pretty good.
Sean. Oh, my God. Sean.
We will be back in a few with more of the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast here during ESPN's 24 hours of coverage leading up to the 2023 kickoff of the University of Louisville football. Hang tight here on ESPN 93.9 The Ville. Exactly 12 minutes. Yeah, we're killing the game. Kick, kick, kick. Killing the game.
All right. So how much longer you need me?
Again, we're doing... Be mindful that we're still live on the... we're not live, but we're still recording video. So we did segment 5, which was Joey. Segment 6, we flip-flopped.
Right.
We're heading into the... The home stretch. So about... Let's see. What's the time? About 20 more minutes. If possible.
I get 10.
Okay, we'll try to get to the business as soon as possible. Plug in a charger, Sean. What kind of phone? Let me see your phone. Live pal.
It's an iPhone.
It's an iPhone. I got an iPhone. Teresa, will you get Sean an iPhone charger for the love of God? Find Ashlyn's. She better not have taken it with her. We're heading into the home stretch. We don't have Sam for much longer, so just let us do our thing. Welcome back to the 24 hours of coverage on ESPN 93.9 The Ville, leading up to the 2023 kickoff of Louisville's football season in 2023. You're here with the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast. My name is Jeremy Wyman. Currently, we have Sean, Sam, Higgy. Dalton should be joining back here in a little bit. Guys, what a blast we've had tonight. We appreciate all of your all's support. We appreciate you all tuning in. Now we're gonna do the hard part. So let's go ahead and start the timer. Predictions on the season, predictions for the game. Sean, I can't believe this, and I know we've already kind of went over the season predictions, but I want you to give us a comprehensive. I think that's Dalton returning. Thank God. that means Higgy don't get to talk no more, but we're good with that. Heading into this last segment, I want you all to tell me what you all think this season is going to be all about. Give me your season prediction. Give me your game prediction. And since he's not been here for a minute, I guess we'll let Dalton lead off first.
Oh, now?
We'll let Dalton lead off first.
I thought we were going to break. My apologies. I'm sorry. My Wi-Fi is it's as bad as Higgy's pronunciations.
That's horrible. Oh, wow. but I understand.
I think this.
So yeah, just kind of let us know what you think is going to come, what the season is going to be about. Give us a couple minutes on the season, and then let us know what's going to happen exactly with the game.
Yeah, I think the season is about winning the games that you're supposed to win. I think that we talk about how easy this schedule is, but in all reality, there are some challenges on this schedule, especially in the middle part. I think that it's critical that Louisville, if they're going to reach this double-digit win total that a lot of people have put them onto, that's fine. But that means that the room for error is slim. People don't understand how hard it is to win 10 games in a season, and Louisville's not a perennial program that wins 10 games in a season. No disrespect to this program, we're not there yet, but you see how tough it is to do that. So you have to win the games you're supposed to win, so winning the first 4 games is critical. You have to beat Virginia. You have to beat Virginia Tech. That gets you at 6. So you have 6 games to where you could win those not easily. I could see Louisville winning those games, but I could also see them easily losing those games if you don't handle business. So you have 6 games there, so essentially you have to either split those and win a bowl game or win 4 and do whatever in the bowl game. But, I mean, I'm optimistic about this season. I'm cautiously in wait-and-see approach because this is year 1 of a new head coach with a lot of new players on this team. So I'm optimistic. I'm excited. I think that all the pieces are in play, barring, any health setbacks. Hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully we stay healthy. This team could have a very, very good season. There's a reason why Desmond Howard and multiple people have went out and said that Louisville is the dark horse in the ACC. But to be the dark horse, you still have to handle business.
Absolutely. You know what? I just thought about this. Let's save the game predictions for after each of us give our season predictions. I'll go next. I feel like this season is going to be a season of proving. Like Dalton said, we're not a perennial power. We were on the track to being a perennial powerhouse, but we got slowed down a little bit after Coach Strong left. This is going to be a season for proving. As I've said before, as I said last week, if the potential matches the talent, or if the talent matches up to the potential, an unprecedented season may be in the workings for the Louisville Cardinals football teams. I really believe that that can happen. However, it's hard for me to jump on the double digits train when I've saw so many first-year head coaches here have a hard time, or ones that have been left with a bounty of talent, including those who we shall not name, do well the first season, or either, yeah, do well the first season or not do well at all with what they've been left, and then under 500 their next two seasons before they leave. So I'm very skeptical because of that reason only. I want to say 9-3. I know we've given our predictions last week. We gave a couple before today, but I think 9-3 would make me happy. Obviously, anything better would. I'm honestly, and I know people out there hate the, well, you're satisfied with mediocrity in basketball and football, which is not that's not the truth. I'm not satisfied with that. The coaches weren't satisfied with that. And this isn't a basketball. We'll talk about that during the basketball kickoff show. But I would be okay with a 7-5 because this is his first year, a ton of new players. He's introduced into the old players that were here, a new philosophy, new schemes. I'm okay with that. I really am. Do I think, again, if the talent matches up to the potential, this could be a historic season for the Louisville Cardinals. But I have to see those match up because in years prior, it hasn't. And then we've all of us that have been hopeful have been let down. And to some people, watching the football games is just a weekend activity, a luxury after hard weeks of work. And that's cool, but you do have a portion of the fan base that if you don't go undefeated, if you don't win 9 games, they're going to say this was the biggest failure of a year in history, and it's not. We got the coach we wanted. It's going to take a while to implement everything, and even with all that, we play in 4 NFL stadiums this year, Atlanta's, Indianapolis's, Pittsburgh's, and Miami's. Those crowds are not going to be the unfortunate fact of the matter is, even though we're not playing at Georgia Tech, we're playing in Atlanta. That's where Georgia Tech is. It's not their home field, but boy, are they going to have a home field advantage. The Lucas Oil, I mean, I don't think there's an advantage in the world that would give them the ability to beat us there, but it is what it is. But Miami and Pittsburgh, where if those were home games, I would say those were easy wins. Those are 50-50 games to me because – you always play harder at home. And the Heinz Field, I'll never call it the other name. That's, y'all know I'm stubborn. That's just how I am.
You mean Acrisure Stadium?
Where's I have a soundtrack button on here. I don't think I can play it because I think we'll be copyrighted. So I won't play it, but I'm going to need you to do better. Hey, that's Wes's catchphrase. Shout out to Wes, who's not with us tonight. He is doing his gerb. So I'll say this. Those two teams, Pittsburgh and Miami, are gonna want to play better because Pittsburgh's an amazing football city. Been there for some Steeler games. If they back their college team the way they do their pro game, that's going to be an insane place to play. And I know we've played there a couple years before, and we've had some problems and whatnot. I expect that game to be one of them where everybody else is like, oh, y'all going to beat Pittsburgh easily. That's probably one of my letdown games because of the atmosphere. Does anybody ever go to Miami and watch games anymore?
No.
It's empty all the time. But
it's a party city now.
But you can never discount Miami's got one of the richest football histories in the country. Those are the guys that wish they were Alabama right now because they used to be Alabama. So it's not going to be an easy game there. So I'm going to go 9-3. And for the game based off of – I really don't like making predictions like week four because I've got to see the team. But just off of ignorance and bliss, I'm going to say 34-24 Louisville. I think Plummer goes nuts. I think Amari Huggins-Bruce goes nuts. And I think Jahar Jordan does his thing 34-24 Louisville. Sam, you're up next.
So what I'm looking for this season is, most importantly is Jeff Brohm setting his culture. I assume it's going to be a winning culture, but I hope it's a winning culture. I think everyone in Card Nation hopes it's a winning culture, but I want to see him establish the culture, how we win, how we play, discipline, things like that. That's the most important thing to me. And then the win-loss record comes second. Now, with that being said, with the schedule that we have, we shouldn't go anything less than 8-4. I do think, like Dalton said, there's a portion of that schedule that's kind of tough. I kind of think it's more towards the end, where we have Virginia Tech and Virginia, albeit they're at home, but then we also have that trip to Miami and Coral Gables right before we play the Blue People up the street. Ugh. I think that three-game stretch with Virginia Tech, Virginia, and then Miami, I think that's going to be real tough.
Yeah.
For Louisville, because it's towards the end of the season. Virginia, for whatever reason, always plays us tough. I think we just played Virginia Tech not too long ago. But like you said, Miami is one of those traditions where they always have the players. They might not have the coaching staff, but now they have the coaching staff and the players. How well is those players going to go ahead and mesh with the new coaching staff? So, and it's going to be towards the end of the season, so they'll have time to work out whatever kinks that they have. So I think that's probably be outside of Notre Dame, the Miami game, because it's in Miami. I think that's also going to be tough for Louisville. But outside of that, like I said, I want to see how Jeff Brohm, I almost said Coach Jeff Waltz. I want to see how he established his culture, and how he sets the tune for the rest of his tenure here at Louisville. But like I said, I see 8-4 for Louisville this year, nothing less.
All right, Sean. And by the way, Sam, thanks for joining the show. We know you're quite busy getting ready to go to the club or whatever it is. But
predictions and let me make mine.
Your game prediction. You got to give your game prediction, and then we'll let you go ahead and get to the Toy Tiger.
45-17. It's my niece's birthday today, and all she wants to do is play around and have fun. But
happy birthday, niece.
She turned 7, so. But
that's the fun age.
45-17 Cards. I know we have a few players, Trey Cooley, that plays running back for Georgia Tech, and I just drew a blank on his name. He's a DB. He plays for Georgia Tech. That was at Louisville. Oliver. So I know we have a few players.
Different Braylon.
Yeah, Braylon. Braylon Oliver.
I think it's a different Braylon, Sam.
You think so? I think it might be the same one.
I think
with the Rutgers, right?
Played for Syracuse.
Then he transferred. I think he transferred from Syracuse. But we could check later. But I know some of those I know Trey Cooley might have a point to prove playing against his old team. And like you say, is in the state of Georgia, in Atlanta. But I do think Louisville will come away with a 45-17 victory. And I look forward to seeing you guys and having a great season. Go Cards.
All right. Sam Bazin, our football beat writer. Appreciate you joining us tonight. Dalton, go ahead and give you didn't give a game prediction. Yeah, go ahead and give your
different Braylon, by the way. Because I also made the mistake. It's gonna be an interesting game. I mean, Louisville has not done well in season openers since 2016.
I saw earlier the last time we opened the season with victory was 2020, but before that was 2016, maybe.
Yeah, 2020 didn't play well against Western. 2018 Alabama, 2019 Notre Dame, 2017 didn't look good against Purdue. 2016 was the last time we did well offensively, and that was against Charlotte. in the opening game. I look for Louisville to switch things up this year. I think that Georgia Tech isn't as much of a pushover as people want to suggest that they are. I do think that Louisville wins this game. I'm going to go 35 to, let's say, 21. I think it's somewhat close early. Second half separates the game.
All right, Dalton, why don't you tell do you have to go right now, or are you going to stay on for a little bit longer? We only got about 15 minutes left.
I got like 5 minutes left.
Okay. Tell everybody where they can find you at on social media, and let them know about Locked On Louisville.
Yeah. At defense underscore on Twitter is where you can find me. On Locked On Louisville, yeah, host a podcast that you can find on YouTube called Locked On Louisville, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, which posts 30-minute episodes. But, yeah, you can also find all of my feature work. Got some cool feature articles planned for this fall. You'll have all your volleyball coverage for the year as well that you can find on Cardinal Sports Zone.
That's awesome, Dalton. Thank you so much for joining in. So you can find Sam at the club, but you can find Dalton at DPence underscore. You can find Sam at Baseboy, B-O-I, 124. Correct, Sean?
Yes.
All right, Dalton, thanks for joining us. We are going – oh, Higgy, I forgot. Higgy, what about you, buddy? Go ahead and give us your season prediction. Tell us how you think the season's going to go. Then give us your season record, which you've already given us your season record once, but I want you to go translate directly between the story of the season, your season prediction, and then your game prediction. Speak slowly and go.
So season prediction is 9-3. I think Jeff Brom and them will get off to a hot start, but I think down the stretch will really kill them more than anything else. Looking at some of this record schedule again right now, there are some brutal games down the road more than anything else. Looking at the month of October, we face Notre Dame. We also have a stretch with NC State, different tough opponents that lead up to it more than anything else. But the season as a whole, we're going to have a great offense. Defense is going to look stellar as always. I think this year we really get excited about college football once again more than anything else. Leading into the Georgia Tech game, I think we win 49-24. I think Brom and them come out on fire with something to prove to the ACC that their Louisville has the capabilities of winning an ACC title this year over Clemson, over the Florida States, with the offense that we do have more than anything else.
All right. Well, you only messed up a couple times. I guess we'll have to take that. Guys, we are winding down in hour number two in ESPN 939 The Ville's 24 hours of coverage leading up to the start of Louisville's college football season against Georgia Tech. It's 7:30, September 1st. It's a Friday, correct?
Yes.
And we're less than a week away. By the time this airs, we may be less than a day away. I don't know why. We are less than a day away. I don't know why I said a week away. We appreciate the opportunity that ESPN has afforded us. Thank you all so much. As always, go to CardinalSportsZone.com. Check out our photo galleries. Jeff Nunn, Justin Kruger, TJ Barr. Fantastic job all the time, as always. Shout out to all of our fine sponsors, Fitness Market, Four Pegs Smokehouse, and the Collision Course Crew Tailgaters. Currently working on more. Make sure you all get out to all the home games and go to the tailgates. Again, it's at the corner of Crittenden Drive and one of the fairgrounds exits. I'm not sure the exact name of the street, but it's in the old Cardinal Hall of Fame Cafe building. It's currently at El Nepal in an Italian restaurant. They serve up a good time. They don't ask for anything, but donations are appreciated. Do not be a loser and just dine and dash. There are people that do that. Don't do that to them. If you'd like to sponsor the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast, get in touch with me at Jeremy_CSZ on Twitter-X on Facebook. I am Jeremy Wauman. Everywhere else, I'm at Jeremy_CSZ. Sean is at Elville Sean. Higgy is, I am the Higgy with like, is it three G's or three Y's?
Nope, but just I am the Higgy.
You changed it because it used to be multiple letters. Okay. He didn't want to confuse anybody, including himself. So he's I am the Higgy. Sam is at base BOI 124. Dalton's at defense underscore.
Yeah,
Wes is at Wes. Is it Wes B underscore 42 or Wes underscore B 42?
I think it's Wes B. Wait a minute.
It's Wes B underscore 42. Joey's at Joe Woman 526. Who did I leave out? Did I leave anybody out? Is that everybody?
I think it's everybody.
We got a plethora of people that contribute to the podcast. So we appreciate all of you all on social media. You can find us again. You can, if you're watching, you can find it underneath Higgy's chin beard, on X, Twitter, Instagram. We're at Card Sport Zone. On Facebook, we're Cardinal Sports Zone, three separate words. On YouTube, we are Cardinal Sports Zone, one word. This has been a fun time tonight, and we really do appreciate everything. The YouTube is also going to be, we've got a lot of great response to us streaming the show. People appreciate it, and they're able to interact, and they won't be with this show, but with all the other shows that go live, we appreciate all of that. You can find the podcast on all the podcast avenues, Apple, iTunes, Buzzsprout, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google, Amazon, and iHeart. Hit subscribe or follow now. Hit the like button. Whatever you got to do to follow us, get the notifications when we go live or when it's not live. You'll still get the notifications when those episodes are loaded. If you've not listened to all the episodes prior of the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast, go back, check them all out. Go to CardinalSportsZone.com, the place it all began. Go to the podcast tab. Go down to CSZ Podcast. Select episodes of Live with 55 are still on the site, but all the CSC podcast ones are there. Check them out. Check out all of our exclusives at CardinalSportsZone.com. The guys, Dalton, Sam, Sean, Higgy, TJ, Jeff, everybody. I don't want to leave anybody out. The whole team works really hard for you all. Shout out to everybody who's out there sharing the podcast. We appreciate you guys. Shout out to our guys, Marcus Mabus, Steve Rummage, Nick Valvano, and of course, the incomparable Drew Diener. Thank you all. Marcus, you can catch Marcus and Steve and Nick's shenanigans Monday through Friday, doing the Lord's work on ESPN 93.9 The Ville from 10 to noon. Let's do our normal segment of last words. Again, I want to thank, send a big thank you out to Drew, Nikki, Steve, and the crew for helping get this together. We appreciate the opportunity. Hopefully this can be a yearly occurrence. Go Cards, go football. I can't wait to tailgate here in my home for that game. It's going to be a good time. Sean, what about you? What are your last thoughts here?
My last thoughts are this, that the season is upon us. It's going to be a great season no matter what happens, because it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be a fun season. Wins, losses is going to be so ridiculously fun because we're going to put up points. Remember how Bobby said, oh, they're going to have to replace the light bulbs on the scoreboard because we're going to score so much? It's going to happen this year.
Absolutely. Higgy, your final words?
Let's go Cards.
I thought he was going to say Whataburger, Jack in the Box, in and out. I'm actually very happy with how you left it here. Guys, this has been a great time. It's been a fun time. It's our first two-hour show in a long time. Hope to bring you many, many more here on ESPN 93.9 in the coming years during the kickoff coverage. Stay tuned. I don't know what's next, but it's going to be fire. I just know how they do it there at 93.9. We're going to go ahead and play the outro. Thanks again for all the support. We love you guys. Until next time, this has been the Cardinal Sports Zone podcast on ESPN 93.9 The Ville. Stay tuned to ESPN's 24 hours of coverage leading up to kickoff of Louisville's football season against Georgia Tech, the Yellow Jackets, 7:30 p.m. ESPN TV. Thank you, guys. We're out of here.